Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 23 through 27. We have three things to say tonight about these five verses. These five verses, I think, constitute a collection of Proverbs that end the 27th chapter that deal with the subject of our responsibility. And so we want to talk along those lines tonight. Our wisdom for our responsibility, our responsible wisdom. Verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. Thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. And God, we pray tonight that you would use it to instruct us, to help us, to make us more like Christ. For we know that all of these wise things, these wise attributes are cultivated and fulfilled in Christ. And so the more we understand these truths of wisdom and the more they are applied to our lives, the more we are made like Christ in the image of our Savior. So we pray that you would use your word to do that. We would be grateful and thankful in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I think I got the door fixed tonight, right? Nobody got locked out. We're all good. So at 7:20, that door locks. So if you go out after 7:20, you can't get back in. And Jerry is locking these doors right about the same time. So we're locked in. Of course, you can get out. But just trying to do some things that would at least slow down any possible problem. Amen? I think if there is one thing that we have failed to teach our children, as I view the landscape of young people, is we have failed to teach them to be responsible. You remember the words of Cain when God asked him where was his brother. Of course, God knew where his brother was. Cain had killed him. And God the Father says, where is thy brother? And Cain responds, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer to that question is, yes, you are your brother's keeper. We have failed in our society today in America, where we have gotten so individualistic, we are taking care of ourselves and we are making sure that our needs are met, and who's going to look out for us if we don't look out for ourselves? We have failed to take responsibility for our brother. I think all of us, to some degree or another, have responsibilities over others. The example here, I think, that Solomon is showing us is that there is a shepherd who has responsibility over his flock. And there is a farmer who has responsibility over his herds. And could we say tonight that a husband has responsibility for his wife? A wife has responsibility for a husband. Parents have responsibilities to their children. Children have responsibilities to their parents. A grandparent has responsibility to a certain degree for grandparents. A teacher has responsibilities to their students. A pastor has responsibility for the congregation. A supervisor has responsibilities to those who work under him. Yes? I think we as church members have a responsibility toward one another that just gets ignored in the church. I think we also have a responsibility to the lost, to share with them Christ. I think we that are saved by the grace of God, who have been bought by the precious blood of Christ, I think as His children and as part of His kingdom, we have responsibility toward Him. We all have responsibilities. And the list could just go on and on and on, but you understand the implications here. I have kids who are carrying around $500, $600 iPads, and they throw them around, and they drop them, and they crack screens. And I tell them, apparently, you didn't pay for that. Apparently, your mom and dad paid for that. You didn't, because you sure don't treat it as if you paid for it. But if their mom and dad did pay for it and gave them that tablet, should they not exercise some responsibility toward taking care of an item that their mom and dad got them for school? But we have children who have absolutely no concept of responsibility. No responsibility toward their teachers or their parents or anything. But Solomon is teaching his children and in the process teaching us tonight that we are responsible. Now, let me begin by the promotion of responsibility or the encouragement of responsibility. He says here, if we could agree, that a shepherd who has a flock is responsible for the flock, right? Right? The farmer who has a herd is responsible for the herd, right? And the shepherd or the farmer would be negatively looked upon if they neglected the flock or the herd, yes? So, Solomon says here in this figure, you need to be diligent to know the state of your flock and you need to look well to your herd. So there is the idea that what we are responsible for and who we are responsible to, that we give diligence to that responsibility. If I am responsible to and for the congregation, I better be diligent toward that responsibility. If I am responsible to my brother and sister in Christ, I better give diligence to that responsibility. If I am responsible to share the gospel with those who are dying and going to hell, I need to be diligent toward that particular responsibility. Yes? That's what Solomon's saying. Know your flock. Know your herd. In other words, be diligent toward those whom you are responsible. That is what is being emphasized here. We need to learn, we need to understand the state of those whom we are responsible for. The word state here in the Hebrew literally means face. We should look at those whom we are responsible for and to, and look at their face to determine how best to meet needs. Does the face that we are responsible for, does it express joy, pain, sadness, despair, worry, fear, doubt? If I am responsible for my brother and sister here at Lakeview, how can I carry out that responsibility if I know nothing about them? If I don't know that they're going through pain, if I don't know they're going through trouble, if I don't know that they're experiencing some sort of spiritual doubt, if I don't know that they're worried and fearful and despairing or sad, how can I fulfill my responsibilities to them if I don't know? I must be diligent in knowing them. It's probably not something you're going to gain on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. You may have to spend some time talking to those people, right? So as we talk to people and we learn from those people, we understand better what they are going through, and we see the expressions of their heart on their face. We must give diligence toward that. I don't think we can ignore them. Or let me say this, I don't think we should ignore them. I don't think, I'm hope you don't want a pastor that ignores the congregation, right? You don't want a church where everybody is just so individualistic they care nothing about each other, right? The world doesn't need a church that remains inside the four walls and never shares the gospel or never lives the right way in front of people or never takes a stand. Listen, I think we as God's people are responsible to hold the Word of God as the supreme authority in all things to everyone. I don't think we can ignore or we should ignore our responsibility. So Solomon says here, be diligent to know your flock and your herd. Know where they hurt. Know where they fear. Know where they doubt. Know where they have pain so that you can help them. You with me? We are to make it our work. We are to make it our job. I told Justin when he was looking for a job, I said, your job is to find a job. Amen? Our job is to know our flocks, right? There is no excuse to not know what is going on in the lives of those who we are responsible. None. And when we learn their state, then we should help them. If we are responsible for them, then we are to help them. We are to encourage them when they are downtrodden. We are to rejoice with them when they rejoice. We are to weep with them when they weep. We are to instruct them when there is despair and fear and doubt. We are to share with them the truth of God's Word. We are to share the gospel with those that are lost and going to hell. We are to heal those who are in pain and discomfort. That's where we are missing the boat in our society today. And in the church, we're all about being diligent about me. When every one of us, whether we work at a workplace, or we come to church, or whatever we do, we have many people who we are responsible to. Be diligent in looking at your flocks and do well to thy herd. Here's the determination. The reason that you carefully examine the flock, the reason that you are diligent in understanding and seeing and learning about the flock, the reason that we carefully look after those who are put under our responsibility is that those things to which you might be tempted to divert your attention from them is recognized. Look what it says. For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? Now I want you to look at that 24th verse again. Is that not a verse about me? What's important in life? Possessions? Wealth? Position? The crown? Royalty? Possessions? Position? Those are the very things that distract us from our responsibilities to one another. Right? You have to determine that what's important is that I remain responsible. I remain faithful to my responsibilities, to those who I'm responsible for, and I'm not diverted and tempted to divert my attention from them to me so that I can have more money and better position. I think that's what he's saying. You see, the temptation is, I'm going to trust in my riches. I'm going to trust in my wealth, or I'm going to trust in my position. And when I begin to worry about and put emphasis on my riches or my crown or my position or my possessions, then I become very lax in my responsibilities to my brother and sister in Christ. Why don't we share the gospel more? Well, we're too busy making money. We're too busy climbing the ladder. Say amen. Why don't we spend more time with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because we're too busy all about me. Yes? So that I have been tempted and now I am being diverted by position and possessions, me over my responsibility. I think that's what Solomon is trying to get across here. And what he says is this: you need to remember, wealth is not forever. And crowns aren't automatically passed down from generation to generation. Money runs out. Money gets lost. Money gets taken. Positions are not always there. When you set your eyes on these things, you may wake up one day and they're gone. The call here, I think, is to fix our hope not in possessions or positions, but to focus ourselves rightly on that which whom God intends for us to focus on. It is much more important that we are faithful to those whom we are responsible for instead of gaining possessions or positions. That's what Solomon's saying. And in America, we say, he's full of junk. And I'm telling you, it is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is the encouragement here. Be responsible. To be faithful to your responsibilities. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your children. Children, be faithful to your parents. Grandparents, be faithful to the grandchildren. Teachers, be faithful to your students. Pastors, be faithful to your congregation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be faithful to one another. Let us be faithful to the world in sharing Christ with them. Let us be faithful to Him who has bought us and saved us from sin. Let us be faithful to those responsibilities and not seek after riches and possessions. And position. Number two. Verse 5. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered. So there is the promotion or the encouragement of responsibility. And here we see the promise of responsibility. Now look at the word appeareth. It is a strange Hebrew word that has a strange translation here. The word literally means to go away or disappear. So reads like this, literally. The hay goes away. The hay disappears, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. Now, what is it that a shepherd needs for his flock? Grass, green pastures, right? What is it that the farmer needs for his herd? Grass, hay. So what happens when the grass and the hay disappears? What happens when what you need to be responsible, to be faithful in your responsibility, what happens when all of that dries up? Have you ever felt that way? That which you need to be faithful in your responsibility to whomever you are responsible to and for, do you ever feel that like you just don't have what you need? That you're not equipped for that? Amen? Well, the promise is this. If you will live responsibly with your God-given assignments, you will discover that the providence of God will fulfill all their needs. Right? So here's the idea. The grass disappears. The hay disappears and goes away, but there's tender, new grass that is growing. You with me? He supplies. God supplies what is needed to carry out our responsibilities. It's not in our ability. It is in God's providential hand that He causes us to be able to carry out the responsibilities that we commit and are diligent toward. What happens when the hay disappears and you depend on it to feed the flocks and herds to who you are responsible towards? Solomon says there's new grass seen. There's new grass coming up. We have to trust God that He will provide what is needed for us to carry out our responsibilities. What am I going to say to the lost person out there? God will supply. How am I going to carry out my responsibilities to my brother and sister in Christ? Trust God. If you will not go after selfish gain, if you will not go after selfish position, if you will just say, I'm going to bloom where God has planted me, I'm going to be faithful to those responsibilities I have, then God will meet the need. He will supply. Do you believe that? You see, it's not really us that is meeting the need of the one we are responsible for. It's God meeting the need through us. Do you see that? The shepherd and the farmer don't make the grass grow. It's God that makes the grass grow. And just the moment that we think that we don't have the resources to take care of that which we are responsible for, it is God. I want to tell you a real pathetic story. It's about me, my dog. I think I'm responsible for that dog. We took the dog in. I think I'm responsible for the dog. Well, the dog got hurt. And I prayed for the dog. I don't know if that's right or not. I told God, I said, God, I don't know if this is right or wrong. I don't know. But I do know this, I'm responsible for this dog, I think. And something has happened that I can't fix. I can't carry out my responsibility for this dog. Will you help me? What and who we are responsible to, God will take care of that. Do we trust God for that? It is not simply us, but it is God providentially working in and through us to supply what the people need that we are responsible for. That understanding will keep you on your knees, right? That understanding will keep you before God, seeking Him to do a work. He supplies, He strengthens. Notice what it says, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. Herbs being that which strengthens and fortifies and nourishes. Well, where do those herbs come from? God. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle. He causes the vegetation to grow. He causes the herbs to grow. Everything that is brought forth from the earth is God's work. Surely we plant and surely we water, but isn't it true that God gives the increase? Things grow, crops prosper, because God causes it to be so. How am I going to help those kids that I teach? How can I make sure that I spiritually lead them in the right way? I ask God to do that. And God providentially does that through us and in us. And that's not going to happen if I'm out chasing power, position, and possessions. Right? How am I going to help what do you do when somebody comes to you in the church and shares with you something and you have no ability whatsoever to help them? What do? You just pray God will use you to say the right thing and do the right thing and direct them the right way. Pray that God would do that through us. Amen? Gotta hurry. The promise is this: if you will be diligent to your faithful responsibility to your God-given assignments, God has promised that He will supply and He will strengthen. Number three, the prosperity of responsibility. Verse 26 and 27. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats' milk enough for thy food, for thy food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Now, this is not directed toward those who you are responsible for. This is directed toward you. Here's what my family said. When I told them that I thought God was calling me to preach, my family was so supportive. You know, they threw a party and all this. No. Here's what they said. You can't take care of a family on a preacher's salary. Well, for 21 years now, I've taken care of a family on a preacher's salary. Haven't missed a meal. Haven't gone naked. Always had a roof over our head, food in the cabinet. Two kids have gone to college. That was the big thing, right? How are you going to send two kids to college preaching the gospel? Well, didn't God do it? Huh? Now, I got some debt I've got to pay. I got some student loans I'm paying, but God's going to supply that too. Amen? If you do what God has assigned you to do, if you will remain faithful to the responsibilities that you have, that God has assigned you, He has promised that He will prosper you. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, but I believe this: He will equip us with our needs. Whatever we need, God will supply our needs. You right? Amen? Now, I'm not like Creflo Dollar, trying to get $61 million to buy a jet, right? I don't think I need a jet. But everything that I have needed, God has supplied. And if we would come to the realization that God has put us in places and God has put us among people and we are responsible and we need to be faithful to that responsibility and we need to be diligent and determined that that's the important thing in our life, I think God will meet all of our needs. You will have lambs for your clothing and you will have goats for your milk, not only for you, but for your household and for your maidens. And then he says this, I think. Not only does he equip us with our needs, but he enlarges our responsibilities. He says this, and the goats will bring, or the goats are the price of the field. What does that mean? You are able to sell the goats and buy more land so that you can have larger flocks and larger herds. What keeps the size of the flock and the herds down? Size of the land, which they can feed on. If you buy more land, you can have more herd, more flocks. What does God do? If you're faithful in small things, He gives you more responsibilities. Amen? If God can trust us with what He has assigned us for, cannot God also trust us with more? If we're faithful to, listen, one of the reasons I think, maybe, that maybe God doesn't birth a lot of people in churches is that they're not going to take care of those young babies. Those young spiritual babies they're not going to take care of because they're all about themselves and not about others. Right? But maybe, if we are faithful to our responsibilities toward one another, maybe God would add others that we could be responsible for as well. and be a help to as well. And God could work through us for them as well. Amen. We've lost this. We think, especially, we think that church is just a place that we go. Somebody said we treat the church like a hotel instead of treating it like our home. This is my family. This is your family. We are responsible toward one another. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. I have a responsibility to you. And you each have a responsibility toward one another, right? We should be diligent about that. Right? And I just can't. If I'm responsible here, I just can't walk away. Right? Because if I am faithful here, I think God's going to meet my needs and take care of me. But if I go out on my own to try to find more money, better positions, more power, God may let me be on my own. And I'm going to tell you, it's a very dangerous place to be on your own without God. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know this, we have a responsibility to uphold the Word of God. And I believe this, God will take care of us. Amen. I think if we will take a stand for the Word of God and not run and cower and fly from conflict because of the Word of God, I think God will take care of us and God will do great things in and through us. But what's going to happen is churches are going to cave because their offerings will go down. The pastor is going to be worried about his salary and his 401k and his all these other things instead of being faithful to the Word, faithful to the flock, faithful to the world. It is the utter point of irresponsibility to not tell people the truth of what's in the Word of God. It's irresponsible. To entertain people is irresponsible. To tell them the truth, that's responsibility. And that doesn't go over well, and that may find us in some very precarious situations, but I believe this, if we will remain responsible, God will take care of us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts, bless it to our lives. I pray, God, that we would be faithful to those responsibilities we have toward one another, and God, that you would bless us and you would help us to meet those responsibilities, provide for what is needed, and God, take care of us. And I pray, and I know that you will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.